Welcome to a Conversations of Change podcast with Dr. Jen Fram. You're listening to an 8-minute shock or a sharp hit of change. Why 8 minutes? Because sometimes 10 minutes is hard to find. Hello, I'm here today in Cleveland, Ohio with Bill Braun. Bill and I had the joy of working together as co-managers in the Organizational Change Practitioners Group in LinkedIn, which is where we first came to meet and exchange ideas on a regular basis. I'm now on my trip around the United States after Dent the Future, and it's 0 degrees. I'm sitting in sunny Cleveland, Ohio with Bill, and Bill's gone on to have a really fascinating career post-change management or organizational change, and I thought it'd be really cool to hear a little bit about what happens for people who've worked in change who then go on to work somewhere else. So, Bill, welcome to the show. Tell us about what you're doing now.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. I retired 3 years ago, and I do a lot of volunteer work. As much as I can find, I find it very rewarding. It's often very fun work. I do some carpentry work. I was doing work on theater sets at the local theater. I've been doing some work for a summer camp that is about 2 hours south of Cleveland. I have been working at Metro Health System in a program called No One Dies Alone. It is a program for people who are in the hospital, actively dying, and don't have anyone in their life. And we volunteers come in and sit with the patient. Mm-hmm. It's very rewarding, and it gives one pause to do some thinking, and I enjoy the program very much. Wow. I am at our church. We have a ministry for students, and one of the things we do for them is cook for them once a month. And so I organized the chefs at church, and I enjoy cooking immensely, but I had never cooked for that many people. So at most, I would cook for 2 or 3, 5 people. Well, this is 35 to 40, so there was a bit of a learning curve. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing that, and I enjoy it immensely. I'm doing a little bit of executive coaching, and recently I did some anti-racism training at a church congregation here in town.
Wow. So let's backtrack back a little bit. Tell me about what you used to do when you worked in the field of organizational change.
I worked at the Cleveland Clinic, which is an academic medical center here in town, world-renowned. And I worked in a group called the Center for Leadership and Learning. And it was about 25% of our time was in traditional classroom management and leadership type teaching. And the other 75% of our time, we were free to roam the organization as internal management consultants. And our boss, as long as we were busy, she was quite happy. Mm-hmm. And it was easy to find work. She often described us as the limited resource trying to satisfy an insatiable demand. So I tended to work on relatively small projects. Mm-hmm. Cleveland Clinic is about 45,000 employees, 8 to 10 facilities in the Northeast Ohio area. And so I would listen to what managers were saying, and I'd listen for problems that I thought that I could help with, and then generally just contact them and say, I think I can help. How about 20 minutes of your time? I said, if you're not convinced at the end of 20 minutes, I'll just get up and leave. Very rarely did the conversation end at 20 minutes. Yeah. And so it was a lot of work of change at a relatively small level. Mm-hmm. They were trying to work to implement a new process. Cleveland Clinic had an excellent, still does, has an excellent process improvement, continuous improvement group. Terrific, terrific people to work with, sharp as a tack. And so I would often do the part of the conversation that would open people's mindset up to be receptive to change, and then the continuous improvement folks would come in for the more kind of hardcore part of that.
So you'd soften them up.
Soften them up, that's correct.
So One of the things that I've been fascinated with in talking to a few people about is life after change. And you know, you've talked about a number of the skill sets that you had there, the deep listening, the being able to influence and open up people's mind. Do you see that that is now part of your repertoire in your world after change in terms of your volunteering and the work you're doing, or do you use completely new skill sets now?
Well, I think it depends. Carpentry has its own set of skills, of course. I think that I'll focus in on the executive coaching. And I had not done a lot of that prior to retiring. And I am finding that that is where the deep listening is really, really useful. One of the things that in our group at Cleveland Clinic that we adopted as a mantra, if you will, for our group is let them do all the work. And that by itself suggested that we would do far more listening and ask questions. And of course, good questions kind of shifts the burden of the work to the person who is seeking to respond to the question. Mm-hmm. And I find that now in one-on-one executive coaching, that that is a model that, at least for me, seems to elicit some really, really good results. That when you put someone in a position to have to really think, Peter Block described powerful questions as those that had three attributes. One, they were personal. That doesn't mean personally invasive, but in other words, the person knew that you were directing the question to them personally, that it was vague, and that prevented the person from just quickly downloading past answers to questions. And these powerful questions were anxiety-provoking. Not that they ever put somebody in harm's way, but because the answer to the question was not easy and readable, available right away, suddenly there was a little bit of a risk as they would have to tread out and try to cover some new ground. So asking powerful questions, continuing to be a good listener, letting them do all the work has seemed to be very successful with the folks that I've worked with.
Nice. So final question for you then is, thinking about now the work that you do, is there anything that you have learnt through that or experienced through that that you would wish you had known while you were working in change?
I think that as time passes and I continue to do the work, and I think like all practitioners, you tend to refreshingly realize what you don't know. And as I continue to learn about some of the nuances of being a good listener, framing a question that really gets at the nub of things, that causes a person to just stop, pause, and have to think. I feel like I'm a little more skilled now at doing it. I wish I was that skilled then. I think overall my effectiveness would have been better for having been a better listener and asking better questions. And I think for me that's the learning curve that continues and the one that I enjoy.
That's absolutely fantastic. So the power of listening, asking deep questions, and loving the work you do.
That is the ticket.
Excellent. Bill Braun, this has been delightful. We're going to come back and have another chat with you about system dynamics. But for now, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jen.
If you enjoyed this shock, then do share with your colleagues and friends. You can find more at conversationsofchange.com.au, at Jen Fram on Twitter, or Conversations of Change on the Facebook.